The subject matter in this episode may not be suitable for young listeners, so please be advised and use your discretion accordingly. Being a ministry wife is a role without a job description. And let's be honest, sometimes it seems like ministry might be easier if we did have one. If you are a ministry wife and are looking for hope, perspective, and a little bit of practical advice regarding your role, you're in the right place. Hi, I'm Christine Hoover, and I also am a pastor's wife. I want to welcome you to the Ministry Wives Podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. Join me as we hear from women in various ministry contexts, having authentic conversations about our shared joys and challenges, even the ones we're unsure we can talk about out loud. No topic is off limits. Today, I welcome my friend Erin Berkey to the show. Erin volunteers as the Women's Ministry Director for Junction, the young single adult ministry of Grace Bible Church in College Station, Texas. She also happens to be married to the pastor of that young adult ministry. In addition, she's the mom of two boys, a junior and freshman in high school, and she loves mentoring and discipling her young single women and helping bring them into the family of God and onto maturity in Christ. Erin joins me today to talk about serving in singles ministry. So here, friends, is my conversation with Erin Berkey. Welcome, Erin, to the podcast. I'm so glad to have you.
Good to be here.
Well, it's super fun because we know each other. We've known each other for, maybe we shouldn't say, but...
A long time.
Because we met in college. And my memory of you in college, Erin, is running around with the camera. Do you think of that too?
Yes, absolutely.
You're a photographer by trade slash hobby. What is it now, a hobby or a business?
It's more of a hobby, right.
Yeah. But you were doing it in college. So I'm glad to get to speak with you today. We're going to be talking about ministering to singles in the church. And I just, I'm so excited to get to share this conversation, have it and share it with other people, because I love the single people in my church. And I sometimes think they get overlooked. So thank you for being willing to talk to us. So let's just start with you and your family, because you are married to Todd, who is the singles minister at Grace Bible in College Station. But you were married before, and you lost your husband when your children were small. And I bring that up just because I've seen your faithfulness over many years to the Lord and to ministry, even before you met Todd. So I'm wondering, did you feel called to ministry even before you met Todd?
Yes, definitely. I did walk through a really rough season of being married to a wonderful, godly man who unfortunately passed away from a brain tumor. But I really felt like that was something in my story that God wanted to continue to use in my life and the lives of others. And I didn't want to waste that by not using those things that I learned and the faithfulness and the provision of the Lord through that. And so I've done women's ministry for years. It started when I was a college student at my same church, which is so kind of the Lord to keep me there for so long. So I've always felt called to ministry and to pour into others as I was poured into. And as I saw others help me grow in spiritual maturity and continue to pour the truth of God's word into me, I wanted and still want to be able to provide that for others.
Did you meet Todd on a mission trip? Is that right?
No, we met online.
Right. But he was living in a different country.
I was in Texas and he was in Santiago, Chile, doing mission work at a church down there. And we met on eHarmony. So online dating totally works sometimes.
So side note question, do you encourage your singles to do online dating or no?
Absolutely. Yes. When I had prayed about it, dating for a while, and as an older woman with kids, it's a totally different ball game. And I was a little bit opposed to the online dating thing, but realized, actually, I had a good friend tell me, just think of it as a mutual friend. All it does is introduce you to somebody that you may not meet otherwise. And so, yes, I encourage my young adults to do that. But that could be a whole other podcast to do online dating well. But yes, God provided abundantly for me and for Todd in that we met that way. And then he ended up moving here to Texas, and we didn't know what his job was going to be. And my dream job for a man that God might have for me would be to work at my church. And now he serves as a pastor of the singles at our church. So just So many Amazing. Examples of God's abundant provision. Yes.
Yeah. Well, tell us about the ministry that you guys lead at Grace. Who is it for?
Yes. So we do young adults, which for us means singles in their 20s and 30s.
Okay.
We're in a college town. And so we have a 50,000 probably college students who are about 18 to 22. So we focus on the stage just past that, which is grad students, master's and PhD students, and then young professionals. So teachers, engineers, you know, people that work at McDonald's, whatever, as long as they're not married. So anywhere between 20 and 40 is what we serve.
And they all get clumped in together, or do y'all have separate Yes. things for the 38 versus the 23?
No, they do all get sort of clumped together. Our main thing that we do is called Junction. It's on Thursday nights, and it's a worship service where we have worship through song, and then typically it's Todd that preaches a message, but then we do small groups directly after that where they debrief the message. Because what we have found with a lot of singles is when singles go to church, they want to gather and be together. When families go to church, they typically disperse. Like maybe your kids go to Sunday school and the parents go here or go there, and they don't usually, sometimes they're together, you know, sitting together at church, but young adults really want to connect with each other. And so we wanted to provide a way for them to do that, not just to walk into a service and walk out, but we provide small groups that people are put into. Some of that is age-based. If we know how old people are, you know, sometimes you don't know how old people are. That's not a question that we ask when you're new. Hey, how old are you? So we have a wide range of all those ages, but yes, typically we kind of try to group people. If there's a lot of older 30s and then younger 20s, we may, you know, mix them up, but sometimes we put them together. The average age of people getting married now used to be in the 50s around, I think from, I looked this up, men about 24, women about 20. And now for men, it's about 31, women about 29. And yeah, which is surprising, but that means that there are tons of young single adults
Yes.
entering churches after they have completed college or high school and are not married. And so right, how do we serve that demographic well?
Yes. And it seems like from what you've said in the past, this really struck a nerve that when y'all started this, it was an obvious need that no one was really meeting in your area.
Yes.
And so y'all have had a lot of people come and be a part of it, correct?
Yes. Most churches, and it's not really it's just something that hasn't been on the radar, I think, of most churches, that when a single young adult walks into a church and they say, where can I plug in? Then they, oh, well, are you married? No. Are you in college? No. Go to big church. You know, there's typically not a place to plug in. And as I said, singles really want to be together, not for matchmaking, not to get them married. The point, and we'll get into that.
Yeah.
The point of life is not to get married. The point of life is to walk well with Jesus.
Yes.
And not your marital status doesn't really matter. But I think a lot of churches just don't see the number of people. And then if they don't feel like there's maybe a place to plug in or that's for them, then they may look for another place.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what needs do you see for this age demographic, and how are you and Todd seeking to minister to those specific needs they have?
Well, I think the biggest one, which really is the same as a married person, is just to help them find and follow Jesus well, whether they're single or not. Also, a lot of young adults have really grown up in a different, obviously different time period than we did, and what used to be somewhat moral maybe isn't so much anymore. And so, trying to follow Jesus well in this culture that we live in is really hard. I mean, it's hard for me. It's hard for them. And there have been a lot fewer examples of what does it really look like to follow Jesus as a young adult. Like maybe they didn't see that in their parents with so many divorces, even to provide opportunities for young adults to see what a godly marriage looks like. Because as they're, if they've been a believer for a while and they know that they want to do marriage well, if God provides that, then have they even had the opportunity to see a man be a godly husband or a woman be a godly wife, or in parenting, you know, what does that look like? So that makes us nervous a lot, because we think, wow, like we're the married couple that they get to see. And we want to continue to provide opportunities for them to see that we do that well and want to honor God in marriage and parenting. So that's definitely a need. I think another really big need is just to help young adults understand their identity in Christ, because it's so hard to not find identity the wrong things in their marital status and just feeling like once I get married, then I will be complete. Mm-hmm. But to understand that they're complete in Christ, that they're lacking nothing. I mean, the scripture says that so many different places that to be complete is not to be married. Paul was single. There's no place that it says once you're married, then you've made it. And then you can really start your life and your ministry. Mm-hmm. So just being reminded of that and that identity comes from who Jesus says we are and not from being somebody's wife or somebody's mm-hmm. husband.
I'm also thinking your experience with losing Lane, and how long were you a single mom?
3 years.
3 years. So mm-hmm. you have experience that you can speak to them of. You've kind of touched on everything. You've been single and without children. You've been mm-hmm. married. Mm-hmm. You've been a widow. You've mm-hmm. been remarried. I mean, you mm-hmm. have a lot. I can see why God has you in that spot. Do you get to share from your experience a lot?
Oh, yes. Yes. So one of the ways that I serve is I'm the volunteer women's director for our ministry, because with Todd being the pastor, if a woman, young woman has an issue, he's not going to hang out with her, once a week for 10 right. weeks to help her figure it out. That's something that I get to do, is meet with young women often and hear their stories. And so, yes, that what I have walked through and all the different stages of that is always comes into play. Even if they can't relate maybe to losing a husband,
right?
We can all relate to trials and grief and struggles, and so much of what I learned and saw in the Lord through that process. Yes, I get to use my story a lot. And even that we met online, that we haven't been married 25 years and don't remember what it's like to date well. That's not that long ago for us.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I want to talk about singles ministry in general, because I have found in talking to the singles in our church, they don't necessarily like something to be labeled singles mm-hmm. ministry, which y'all mm-hmm. aren't labeling it that, mm-hmm. it sounds like.
Yes.
But mm-hmm. also they feel other. They feel sometimes that, there isn't a place, and how do they connect? And so, and also the age range. I mean, we mm-hmm. have divorced singles mm-hmm. and we have widowed singles and we have mm-hmm. young singles. And so how do you walk that line well of creating something that's really significant and relevant, but also sensitive to their unique needs?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. Yes, we very purposely do not call it the singles ministry, even though we are, because when people hear singles ministry, they just envision a group of weird, creepy people that just can't wait to get married and are, going to ask you out the minute you walk in. So everybody knows we're a singles ministry, but it's purposeful that we don't call it that, because we don't want to identify people by their marital status. They all know they're single. We don't have to remind them of that. And we really try to focus on how do we help you grow in your walk with Jesus again? How do we help people bring people into the family of God and then onto maturity in Christ? And not just because you're single, but because you're a person who is valuable in the eyes of the Lord. And we do talk about issues that singles face, because when we do meet, it is all singles. So we do talk about, again, finding identity in Christ, and that marriage doesn't complete you, some of those things. But yes, you're right. There's definitely, I think, hesitation about calling it singles ministry. Mm-hmm. But also, I don't know that this is something that we've done super well, because we do serve just maybe one demographic of singles. We often have divorced folks come, but if we have divorced folks come that are also parents, they're welcome to be with us. But at this point, we don't offer childcare. So mm-hmm. There's maybe that's a demographic that we don't serve as well. Most of the older singles at our church plug in other ways, like, because we don't have maybe a 40 plus official young adult ministry. So they might join a Bible study or serve in other ways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What would you say to churches or ministry wives are listening? So what would you say to them about creating a space for singles in their church? What are some of the important things to think about?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think a really important thing is to not view them as lacking something or less than, or once they get married, then I can ask them to serve, because we have some incredibly spiritually mature, awesome young adults that we serve with. And they typically have more disposable time and income than other demographics in the church, because they don't have a spouse and they don't have children. to take care of. They're in control of how they spend their time, and it's so beautiful to watch the light bulb go on in their head and go, oh, I have all this. Singleness is a gift. It's not a curse. It's not a gift I want to re-gift. It's something that God has given me, and I have all this time that I can use to serve in ways that I'm gifted to serve. So one of the things that we really try to do is get to know our young adults and figure out how are they gifted, what are their spiritual gifts, and then how can we use those gifts in service to the church, whether it is within our ministry or big church, as I still call it. We have quite a few young adults that serve on our production team at Junction, where we live stream, so there's slides to run and cameras and all that. And a lot of those people also serve on Sunday morning for big church because they've seen this is a way that I'm gifted, this is a way that I can serve. I think sometimes the singles don't get asked to do certain things because, again, they're not married. We have some single guys that serve as deacons at our church. And we love that it's not just, it doesn't just have to be the married dudes, especially with the age of people getting married, getting higher and higher, as I mentioned. There is a wealth of gifting and talents and time that they have to offer that I think they just often get overlooked.
Yes.
And maybe it's because people aren't spending time getting to know them.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. And we have ideas just without even thinking about it. We have ideas of what a deacon should be or look mm-hmm. like. And, mm-hmm. This got challenged for me when we planted our church. You know Bill Bray. He came with us to plant and he was single. Mm-hmm. He just got married 6 years ago. And so he has been single for the majority of our church. Mm-hmm. And he is one of our pastors and elders preaching. Mm-hmm. And that mm-hmm. was really good for me mm-hmm. to go. When he preaches, we preach verse by verse, but when we get to stuff about singleness, he can speak to from experience mm-hmm. and in a way that's really helped me to understand more of the mm-hmm. experience and mm-hmm. that not being married did not hinder him one single bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. I know a lot of young adults who are single who are maybe more spiritually mature than some married folks. Again, your marital status doesn't change your spiritual maturity. Yes, marriage definitely is like sandpaper and, shaves off the rough edges, but singleness does the same thing.
Yes.
And choosing to be content with where the Lord has you and figuring out how can I serve him in this season of life, mm-hmm. which is the same question you should be asking when you're married. How can mm-hmm. I serve him in this season of life? Mm-hmm. And yes, I think just figuring out where the needs are and making sure that singles are included in asking them to serve mm-hmm. and not feeling like they've got to be, married to lead a Bible study. Or even one of our young adults leads our children's ministry, and she's single and she's not a mom, but she's amazing and she loves families and loves kids and is gifted in leading people. And we're so thankful that the church didn't think, well, you're not equipped for that because you're not married and you don't have kids.
Yeah. Are there ways that you and Todd help your singles find meaningful roles within the church?
Yes, yes, definitely. One of those ways is just getting to know them and how are they gifted mm-hmm. and encouraging them to plug in. Of course, that also requires us to know a little bit about what is available mm-hmm. in big church to serve there, whether it's leading Bible study or teaching Sunday school or working with under-resourced youth. We have a lot of options. And sometimes they just don't know what to do and nobody has challenged them to do it.
Yeah.
I have so many young adults that we love, but one of our girls that's been leading with us for 5 years, when I had lunch with her, when I first met her, I could tell she loves Jesus. She loves people. She's got incredible gifting, but nobody has ever called that out in her. She didn't see that she had anything to offer. And we said, hey, will you lead a group with us? Because this is what I see in you. And her first thought, oh, I'm not equipped to do that. It's like, yes, you are. If God calls you, he's going to equip you. And it's been beautiful to see her grow in spiritual maturity and leadership development and so many things because we saw in her that there was things to give that she didn't see in herself.
Mm-hmm. I love that, Aaron. I can see you being so good at where God has placed you. I just love it. It gets me excited. I'm also wondering how you bridge that gap between singles. Let's go with the women. Single women and mm-hmm. and married women or mm-hmm. young and old. How mm-hmm. do you I think it can be hard to do age demographic ministry mm-hmm. because you love mm-hmm. them so much, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. but you love them more than anybody else. It's like your babies, you know, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. you want the people, the married women, the older women to love them as much as you do. Mm-hmm. And so how do you kind of bridge that gap and help them see the value of one another?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things our church does well, I'm thankful that our senior pastor is aware of this, that even when he's preaching about things, he doesn't just give married examples. Or when he's talking about different people's struggles, he often, even just mentioning singles is something that a lot of churches just don't do because it's not really on their radar. So even keeping in the minds of our married folks that there are a lot of singles and we want them to be able to be together because, again, you know, being able to see for a young adult to step into, you know, to just hang out with you and Kyle and see what is life like for y'all, that they don't even have to really, you know, officially disciple them or, you know, do something official, just doing life together. And we encourage our, you know, married folks, hey, just invite a single over to come hang out with you while you're doing laundry or while you're making dinner for your family, or just invite them into what you're already doing. Mm-hmm. And that will be a blessing to them just to see your life. And mm-hmm. you don't have to, you know, be equipped with all the doctrine and theology to help them, you know, understand some amazing thing about God, which that would be great if that was the case as well. But I think some people just don't feel equipped to do some of those things when just do life together or just talk about what is God teaching you in your own walk with Jesus. I mean, I think that's one of the ways that I've been effective in the lives of others, just talking about what has God taught me and how have I seen victory in over sin and how has he worked in my life. And so bridging that gap and just trying to help the married ones understand that just be them and allow Jesus to be himself through them. And that makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. I love that you brought that up about, you've said it earlier, even the family of God. We're a family. Mm-hmm. And so bringing not just single people, but other people, bringing them in to the family of God often means bringing them into our families mm-hmm. around our table. Mm-hmm. And yes. Singles can do that just as much as married people can. They can yes. bring people around their table. But I love that you brought that up. And so I'm wondering, are there ways that you encourage that wording, that idea of the family of God with both married and singles?
Yes, that we are all part of, yes, God's family. And that when we're looking to reach out and love one another, that there we shouldn't look at marital status to be something that stops us from growing in a relationship with others. So mm-hmm. I have been so challenged and encouraged by my single young adults.
Yes.
Even in the way that I am a married woman, and just in the way, because the best way to do marriage is to love the Lord best and serve him best. And as I see my young adults doing that so faithfully, then it makes me want to do that better. And so yeah. that impacts me. And so I think sometimes married people feel like, well, my family is my family, and the singles are just a whole other group over there, and I don't need to really interact with them. And I would highly encourage married folks to initiate and reach out to the singles and invite them in. Something that we have seen, I don't think this is just singles, this is just the church, is that a lot of people want to be initiated with, but few people are willing to initiate.
Yeah.
And so you have a lot of folks that are just hungry to be feeling like they're more of in the family of God and a part of a community. And it just takes some folks to go, hey, I'm willing to, when I walk into church on Sunday, I want to open my eyes and see who does the Lord want me to talk to? And who does he want me just to get to know and invite into my family and into what I'm doing mm-hmm. so that I can, you know, help them grow. And mm-hmm. God is very faithful to show that if we look for it. But it's very easy to just walk in and sit down and listen and walk out and, mm-hmm. and not ask the Lord, how could I be a part of loving maybe a demographic that I maybe know is there, but that I've never even wanted to yeah. to pour into.
I mean, I'm kind of biased because I just love the single people in our church. They're kind of my favorite people to be around. mm-hmm. But one of the things, especially with church planting, living far away from family and friends mm-hmm. is creating a new family, a mm-hmm. family of God. And mm-hmm. so, for example, you know, I have single friends who they get my kids' sports schedules and they come to mm-hmm. their games, and it's mm-hmm. like an adopted aunt or uncle mm-hmm. or grandparent, and mm-hmm. and I just love that. Mm-hmm. And they oh, yeah. say to me often that how important that is to them. To me, it's not a big deal. I'm already going to be doing it. But they are like, it makes me feel like I belong, that I can be a part of what your family mm-hmm. is doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Especially if they haven't come from a family that that loved Jesus growing up, and they don't know what Christian, you know, community looks like. We have quite a lot of folks here in College Station that come from other countries mm-hmm. to come to school at A&M. And a few years ago, we invited one of our Nigerian singles to join us for Christmas, which was so fun because, you know, it's like, here's this weird way that we do Christmas in American stuff. And and it wasn't like, oh, poor guy, you know, we'll just invite him to be with us. And it's such a sacrifice for us. It was a blessing for us to be able to be with him and have him there with us Christmas morning and just be with our family. And yes, it took us seeing that need and asking for him to join. But I wish that more people would see that need mm-hmm. and to really have them feel like they're part of not just the family of God, but the families in their church yeah. and that they're not just forgotten.
Absolutely. Yes. So you're mentioning the joy of doing that. I'd love to just close talking about the joys and rewards of working with singles for you personally, Aaron. What are your joys in it?
Oh, man. Well, I feel like God has done so very much in my life, and I just get really excited to talk about those things and to be able to see how the Lord can use what I've walked through in the lives of others as I'm willing to be vulnerable and transparent about what I've learned. And sometimes I feel like I'm looking in the mirror when I hang out with some of my young adults that, wow, this person is insecure and trying to find identity in men, which I totally did. And for me to be able to talk about, this is how I've seen victory and this is how God has shown me who I am in him. And just the joy is seeing people find freedom and victory and joy and purpose. And I have met with girls who have said, it takes a little bit of digging, but who have said, my purpose in life is to be a wife and a mom. Mm. And for me to be able to say, no, it's not. It may be someday. God may have that for you, but your purpose in life is to image Christ well. And how do you do that in the season you're in right now? Because marriage is not a promise. The only marriage we're promised is being the bride of Christ. That's the best one we can be. We're not promised to get married. So if that isn't something that God has, or if you feel like God is taking far too long to bring you that person, then what are you going to do now? And just the joy of seeing people understand the joy of service and the joy of sacrifice and the joy of laying down my own agenda to follow what God has for me and the joy of using the gifts that God has given me to help people find and follow Jesus better. Mm-hmm. That is my favorite thing. Mm-hmm. I also love doing that with my husband because we very much serve and lead together. And we debrief about, you know, how was this event or how was that event? Or if I have, you know, lunch with a girl and I've found out her story and she went through sexual abuse, or I mean, the things that people have walked through are so hard. And you know, for us to debrief those things together and be able to pray for the folks that we lead and love together. We love that. I also really love seeing people understand that they're not the only one. I think a lot of folks that have walked through hard things feel like, I can't talk about it with others because I'm the only one. One of Satan's biggest lies mm-hmm. is, you know, whatever you're going through, you can't talk about it. And they're all going to judge you. And to be able to tell people, recently I met with a girl who's very much struggling with a pornography addiction. And unfortunately in churches, people think it's a man problem and they don't talk about it anyway. And for me to say, you know, I would say 90% of the women that I meet with, if they're willing to be honest, would say the same thing, that they've either had a pornography addiction or a past of sexual sin. And they're thinking, oh, what? Really? I thought I was the only one. Therefore, I've never talked about it. And it's so easy to find our identity and our past and our sin and to help people see that that's not who they are, that sin, it definitely marks you and there are consequences from it, but it doesn't define you. You're defined by who you are in Christ. And to see them understand that and those chains to be broken that are holding them back from fullness of joy and service in their walk with Jesus. That is awesome.
That is awesome. I'm so thankful for what you guys are doing there and thankful for you and your insights. And I hope that this encourages people listening to see the mm-hmm. singles around them and to maybe get creative about how they can include them mm-hmm. in service or in their family mm-hmm. life, whatever mm-hmm. it is. So thank you, Erin. I really appreciate your time.
You're welcome. So fun.
Thanks so much for listening to the Ministry Wives podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. If you found this content helpful, please subscribe, rate, and review us on your podcast platform or share it with a friend. You can find this podcast and other helpful resources at ministrywivespodcast.com.